When our Lord fed the multitudes, he performed a miracle. Over his 3 years of public ministry, he worked 33 miracles. Now, some were of healing, for he had great compassion on the sick. Others were of quality. For example, he gave sight to those born blind. Still others were in nature. He walked on water or calmed the storm. But on this occasion, we have a miracle of quantity. He multiplied the fish and the bread so as to feed the thousands of hungry people in his midst. We are not told that he changed the quality of the fish, that, for example, they brought to him perch and he changed it into salmon, or that the bread was wholemeal and he made it into rye. No, we are simply told that everyone ate as much as they wanted. And when they were finished, 12 baskets were filled with the scraps. Note that nothing was wasted at the end of the miracle. God does not waste his graces. If graces are squandered or lost, the cause is ours. Some early church fathers, who knew the Bible better than us, saw in the matter chosen for the bread typological references to Christ. That is, there were 5 loaves of bread, not 6 or 4, for the 5 represented the 5 sacred wounds in the body of Christ, who is, after all, the true bread of life. And also there were 2 fish, not 4 or 3, which reminds us of the 2 natures in Christ, who is truly man and truly God. Furthermore, this quantitative miracle of bodily nourishment reminds us of how much God does provide for us. The word providence is proper to God alone. It's an interesting word, it's Latin, providere, to see on behalf of another. When we are faithful to God, he keeps his eyes on us. He does provide for our needs. Now, some may respond to that by saying, "Sounds good, Father, but what about the poor? What about those infected with COVID? Is God providing for them?" Good question. One must probe those questions to find an answer. What we can say is this, that God has provided us with the means to care and feed for 7.8 billion people on earth. However, he has entrusted this work to us as the stewards of creation. And today, in our modern world of 2020, we have lost our way. We are lost in his cosmos. For today, we have replaced the values of being, respect for the person, with those of materialism, with having things. The only goal which counts for some is the pursuit of their own physical or material well-being. And thus we find this great debate between the value of life and the quality of life, which is foreign to our ancestors. For them, all life was of value. But no, today we measure the success of life by its quality, by its economic efficiency, by our ability to be consumerists, our seeking of pleasure and beauty, at the neglect of more profound dimensions, such as the interpersonal, spiritual, and religious well-being of the person, not to mention their existential end, that is, their salvation. Have we forgotten that we are only here to get there? Our present time is a borrow time that will run out. This is not our home. So it won't always be perfect, but we ought to make the effort to do what we can. And many today don't. They focus only on the here and not there, our eternal life. And that's being pushed incessantly by our media, which is controlled by the wealthy of the world. And these people are secular humanists. They live for now alone. And so the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Here are some scary statistics on world poverty. They claim that United Nations, that 20,000 people die every day because of hunger. Hard to believe, isn't it? Not once a year or once a month, but every day. There is not enough food, they say, for everyone in the world. But there is enough food if we weren't so selfish. The problem is not the quantity of food, but its distribution, our lack of willingness to share resources and technology. Remember that one of the most populated places on earth, or countries on earth, is Holland. They don't have a problem with hunger there. It's a very affluent country. So population doesn't mean poverty. There is much poverty, however, in the world that's forced poverty. Sadly, one half of the world, billions of people, live on just a few dollars a day. And they say one quarter of people on planet Earth do not have electricity in their homes. Hard to imagine. So where is all the money? Well, it's in the United States of America, China, of course, United Kingdom, Europe, and so forth. In those first world countries, the rich people, who are 1% of the world's population, own 45% of the global wealth. I'll repeat that because it's so important. 1% of the world's population nearly has control of 50% of the world's wealth. And these are companies run by people with an agenda. So the world is grossly imbalanced between the haves and the have-nots. And the have-nots are becoming poorer in contrast to those who have the wealth. One wonders whether this present pandemic may be, in some sense, a leveling tool to the wealth of the West. So let us be content with what we have, if all is right with God. Abandonment to divine providence does free the heart from anxiety about tomorrow. Trust in God is a preparation for the blessedness of the poor, who will be satisfied in heaven. One person who knew that and lived it and travelled all over Australia and New Zealand was Mary of the Cross, St. Mary MacKillop, whose feast comes up this week. She trusted in divine providence and bore the cross, hence her title, Mary of the Cross. She was born in 1842, and Mary's heritage was Scottish. She is Australia's firstborn saint. Her father emigrated to Australia, where he met his future bride, and thus Mary was born. In 1860, in her 20s, Mary became the governess of Father Julian Tennyson Woods, and the beginning of the journey. And Mary would start up a new convent or a school, knowing that God was behind this work. She often didn't have the funds to pay the bills. She would pray, and through St. Joseph's intercession, the money would appear. A benefactor would leave them some money from their estate, or someone would just provide the means at that time. She didn't worry about tomorrow. And that was well epitomized and explained and lived out in her convents. Her nuns carried on her charism. They would go begging for food. They'd go to the bakers and the butchers, seeking food for their own sisters to provide a meal at the end of a day. And there's one curious story of two nuns. Josephines went to the butchers to get the bones to make some soup. And they were carrying the bones in a Hessian sack back to the convent. And some dogs, who were also very hungry, bailed them up in the street. And the dogs wouldn't let the sisters go until they got their bones. And so the sisters came back with a minimal amount of bones for the soup. So that night in the parlour, the soup was rather watery. There wasn't much substance to it. On another occasion, the sisters were having trouble begging for food, and all they had one evening for their main meal around the kitchen table was raw cabbage. That's all they had on their plate. And they couldn't even cook it because there wasn't enough wood to light the fire. That's how they lived. God provided. And sometimes they went without. But in the long run, they were looked after. God did bless them and her work. Mary of the Cross eventually suffered from rheumatism for many years and finally died of a stroke on May the 25th, 1909. After many years, she was beatified by Pope John Paul in 1995 and canonized by Pope Benedict on October the 17th, 2010, 10 years ago. We ask her to trust, help us trust in God's providence and to care for those who are most poor in our midst.